Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. And before we get to John McClain, caller number three at 615-737-1025 will be qualified to win a pair of tickets in the Eurostone Club to see Jeff Dunham this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Caller number three, 615-737-1025. And you'll be qualified to win a pair of tickets in the Eurostone Club to see Jeff Dunham. Let's say hello to John McClain, who joins us now from Houston. And John, it literally was, as we said goodbye last week, we hang up the phone, we go to break, and the news comes out that Stephon Diggs is coming to the Houston Texans and is now a member of the AFC South. Did you see this coming at all?
It had been put out there by a couple of national guys, and I didn't buy it. But it's funny in Texas because Jerry Jones said about 3 weeks ago or right before free agency that the Cowboys were all in, and they re-signed their snapper and a third-string running back. And as I write for HoustonTexans.com, this is what all in is. Texans won't say it, but obviously they're trying to take advantage of C.J. Stroud being on his rookie contract. And also they had money for the first time since Nick Sirianni began his rebuild in 2021 to spend in free agency, just like Rand Carthon had money to spend, and he did. Looks like he spent it wisely. So they like Diggs. Diggs is coming off. It's funny. People were criticizing him about his production after Joe Brady was elevated to replace fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey. And he still finished with 107 catches, 1,183 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And not everybody would like to have a bad season like that. In his 4 seasons with the Bills, he has more catches than anybody in football. So the key to all this, they gave up a 2 from Minnesota in 2025. They get back, they get Diggs and a 6th-round pick this year, and they get a 5th-round pick next year. And the Bills were happy to get rid of him because he isn't a bad guy who gets arrested after having a wreck or DWI'd in the middle of the night. He's just not shy about expressing his feelings when he doesn't get the ball as much as he thinks. He'll chew out Josh Allen, chew out his coaches, go on social media. So what they did here, with Nico Collins coming off a great season and going to get paid, they tore up all of Diggs' contract, which would have gone through 2027. They made it a 1-year deal, and they gave him, he was due $2.5 million bonus after the season. They made it part of this contract and gave him a 1-year deal. So he's 30 years old. He'll be 31 in November, and he is going to be on his best behavior, and he is going to give them everything he's got. He's already working out with C.J. Stroud. There have been videos of those guys going at it together. And it was a really cool video that NFL Films put out. Probably never thought anything about it, but it's at the Pro Bowl where Diggs is standing next to Stroud on the sideline. And the mic was obviously up there, and Diggs was picking his brain about the Texans and what he liked about it and what his plans were and all that. And now it looked like a prophecy. And so they'll have Diggs, and they'll have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, who's already 100% after season-ending surgery, and then they re-signed their tight end Dalton Schultz. And that is a pretty dangerous first 4 receivers for C.J. Stroud. And so if Diggs plays really well and they want to re-sign him, guys who are going to be 32 in a season, or receivers, are not going to get big contracts. They're certainly not going to be long-term contracts. And remember, when he went to Minnesota and then he was traded to Buffalo, he was on his best behavior for a couple of years.
Right.
So I think it's a great move for them, especially giving up 2 from the Vikings next year. They have 9 picks this year. 2 in the 2nd round, none in the 1st. So people here, as you can imagine, are really fired up about it. People in Buffalo are overjoyed.
Yeah, and I'm sure. And, you know, I look at this receiver room that Houston has right now. I mean, it's pretty packed. Is Robert Woods going to end up being the odd man out?
He could be. They've got like nine receivers. There's a lot of competition. We were doing things here. 49ers have the best combination of wideouts in a tight end. Detroit's second. The Texans might be right there with Detroit based on the production we've seen so far. But Nico Collins only done it 1 year. Tank Dell was a rookie. And, of course, Diggs is proven. So they're doing everything they can to help Stroud. Now they do not have to draft a receiver high in the draft.
Talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And John, I think Jim Harbaugh is just a master deceiver. You know, nobody talked about J.J. McCarthy until he got the Chargers job. And then he's talking about J.J. McCarthy. I just think he's throwing this blanket over NFL. And now J.J. McCarthy is risen way up with the all the talk and a high draft choice as a quarterback and everything. Do you think Harbaugh really believes McCarthy can be that quarterback? Or, John, is he just throwing it out there to kind of create a little chaos?
He might believe it, Joe, because, you know, he helped him win a national championship. But if they needed a quarterback, would he draft him? We'll never know because they don't. Everybody sees through his BS of trying to act like McCarthy had the greatest pro day he's ever seen, greatest combine he's ever seen, because he obviously wants a team to trade up with Arizona and take quarterbacks first four so he can have his pick of every other player and probably trade down. Most people have them trading down with the Vikings from that spot and being able to get an offensive tackle and a wide receiver, which would be very smart. The key is, what do the Vikings think? What does Kevin O'Connell think? Offensive coordinator Wes Phillips, what do they think about J.J. McCarthy? I think a lot of times, and we'll see, a quarterback coming out of the season, we've seen all his games, and they're not highly rated, and then their stocks skyrockets when they put on t-shirts and shorts. That a lot of times could be media concoctions, but they're hearing it from people who are, you know, everybody's telling lies at this point. And so if McCarthy say is available in Minnesota where the Vikings pick without trading up, then fine. But boy, if they trade up to the fourth or fifth spot to get him, they better be right, because that is a decision you make for your franchise, and if you're not right, it'll get you fired.
Yeah, exactly. With that being talked, you know, we were talking about Joe Walt here in Nashville all the time, John. The Titans get him number 7. I mean, you saw the process with the Bruce Matthews, where he played 3 different spots, a Brad Hopkins, and then a Michael Roos, is how valuable it is. I mean, why do we make this so complicated, John, when you have a surefire, by all accounts, going to be a great NFL pro to plug in at a critical position? It would just be, I think if it comes down to it, the Titans have to take him at 7. Do you see any alternative of them trading back out when they've got such a sure thing to fit such a critical need on this football team?
And I'm sure the only reason you would do that is because you got Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach, and he's one of the best ever. I don't know if he's ever been blessed with the inherited first-round pick, gets an expensive free agent center, and then gets the best offensive tackle in the draft. It is a deep draft for offensive linemen. I've never seen so many tackles projected to go in the first round. And I just saw somebody's mock draft in which they have a tackle going at the bottom of the first round I've never heard of. So I had to look him up. And I doubt that many are going to be taken. But the something that, and this is, it's crucial. What if Minnesota traded up with the Chargers to the 5th spot, and then right before Arizona picked, Arizona trades with another team, the Giants or the Raiders or the Broncos, and so McCarthy goes with the 4th pick, and then Minnesota's twiddling their thumbs? That's why they got to be so careful. As far as what if the Chargers take Joe Alt? They need an offensive tackle, and he's the best by far. As sure a thing as you could say in this draft, plug him in and play 10 years, barring injuries, with multiple Pro Bowls. And so if they were to stay there and take him, then I'm guessing that Rand would switch to one of those great wide receiver prospects, because you can never have too many for a young quarterback that you're hoping becomes the franchise.
He is the great John McClain joining us from Houston here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We'll have more with him coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston. And ironically, NFL Network is currently showing a game that was played in Houston 28-3 is all I have to say, and you know what game I'm talking about. John, were you at that Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, I was at it, sure.
One of the greatest comebacks in NFL history. I want to ask you, you were just talking about J.J. McCarthy and like his stock. What have you heard from people that you've talked to about Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.?
First of all, that was the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history and one of the greatest in NFL history. Penix, it's amazing to me. Nobody was talking about him being a first-round pick. Now I've seen people have the Raiders taking him at 13. He seems to be more of a second-round pick. So does Bo Nix. I just read a thing that Bo Nix was incredible when it came to throwing touchdown passes and avoiding interceptions when he was at Oregon. But his passes traveled an average of 6.3 yards, which was sixth worst out of like 127 teams. Now, did they ask him to do that because that's what the only thing they thought he could do? Or did they ask him to do that because that's what they would have done no matter who played quarterback because that's their system? And so I think Nix, one of the things coaches love is guys who make good decisions. And when you throw as few interceptions as he threw when he got to Oregon, and he has 61 starts, more than any quarterback, Division I quarterback in NFL draft history. So everybody that likes experience, he's got it, he's accurate, and he makes good decisions. It's more, a lot of times now they put more emphasis on what kind of system a team plays in college. But generally, a coach in college does not switch up his system for a quarterback he can have 1 or 2 years. You know, you got a system you want to play, and then you find a quarterback and play it. And he obviously played it in different systems at Auburn. So I think he could sneak into the bottom of the first round, and Penix could too, especially because next year's draft is not supposed to be a good one for quarterbacks.
Well, and with all that said, no matter how many of these quarterbacks end up going in the first or second round, how much do you think Ryan Tannehill and his camp are going to be paying attention to what happens on draft weekend? Because I kind of feel like that's when the sweepstakes for him can really heat up.
There's a lot of free agents, Chase, who are waiting to see what happens in the draft. Teams are waiting to see what happens in the draft. And or Tannehill, he could wait until somebody got hurt. He's obviously going to be a backup. He's got to go in with the idea he's going to start, and he'd be like a coach. I can't imagine a team needing a good backup, especially for a young quarterback, would not have already been all over Ryan Tannehill. And I think some of these quarterbacks who've signed, they do it with the idea, if my guy gets hurt, this guy can win a few games, as opposed to if my guy gets hurt, this guy can keep us competitive. And I think looking at Tannehill's track record with the Titans after John Robinson made that trade, he's a guy you'd think, okay, he'll help the young guy. And if the young guy falters or he gets hurt, he can actually help us win games because he's done it over a long period of time. And if you're paying guys like Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco and those guys more money than people thought you should, I think Ryan Tannehill will have more than one offer to choose from.
Talking to the great John McClain this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show. John, we'll go back to 1988 season for the Houston Oilers. The run and shoot was doing good, got great receivers, you know, go, 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 go. The draft comes in 1989, and the Houston Oilers take a tackle out of Florida. Can you take me back to why they took a tackle out of Florida and how, John, this compares with this current franchise needing this tackle?
David Williams was the tackle. I thought they were taking Steve Wisniewski from Penn State. The general manager, Mike Holovac, who made the decision, told me for my last mock draft to take Steve Wisniewski. And he was a badass. He was good. He was physical. And he could play multiple positions. And they thought he could make the switch to tackle. I never heard David Williams' name mentioned. And then they draft David Williams. And after things settled down a couple of days, I asked Kalovac, What in the world? What happened? He said, well, when they did cross scouting right before the draft, the guy that scouted the SEC just was turning cartwheels to get David Williams. And they had the coaches look at him. And everybody decided they liked David Williams better because he's a true left tackle. And he didn't know if Wisniewski could make the switch. And they didn't need a guard because they had two that were going to the Hall of Fame and Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak. So that's how they got David. And David was a solid starter. And in 1993, he became famous for one of the strangest stories in the history of professional sports. They started terrible that year. They were 1-4. They go to New England. Warren Moon had been benched for the only time in his career for Cody Cross in the backup, and David Williams didn't go. I find out, I'm looking down at the field, and I'm like, where's David Williams? It turned out his wife, Debbie, was having a baby, and he said he was not going. He was going to stay there for the birth of his baby. Now, I'd never heard of that being done then. Now they do it all the time in every sport. They even get maternity leave in sports. So David wasn't there. Cody Carlson got hurt. Moon came in, led him to a victory. They never lost another game until the divisional round of the playoffs. And after that game, Bob Young, the offensive line coach, I pulled him around because he was a friend of mine, outside, around the corner, interviewed him. He ripped David Williams. He said it's like in World War II. You're supposed to go to war as a soldier. You go, no, I'm staying home for the birth of my baby. And I said, Bob, you're going to get eviscerated. And he said, I don't care. That's what I think. And so those quotes just killed Bob. He was just people out, women's groups. David, the story transcended sports. He and Debbie had offers from all the news shows, 60 Minutes. I ended up going on with Connie Chung on NBC and talking about it. And I saw David at an event about 5 years ago. Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak put on here. And Lowell Scott was about 6'6". And I said, do you know about Baby Gate? He said, oh, yeah. I've heard about it ever since I was old enough to know what my mom and dad were talking about.
That's great. Also, it's this kind of compares what we're going through now. You know, last year the Titans drafted Skoronski. If they get Joe Walt, yeah, the fan base won't be like, oh, my goodness, this is the greatest. But you talk about it in 82 and 83, John, 82 Mike Munchak, 83 Bruce Matthews. Not saying they're going to be the same career with Skoronski and Joe Walt, but what was the fanfare like when the Oilers drafted two offensive linemen back-to-back like that? And they did it again in 84 with Steinkuhler. But those two guys back-to-back, what was the kind of pulse of the fan base in 82 and 83, John?
First pick in the second round was Harvey Salem, an offensive tackle from California. And so they took Matthews and Salem with the first two pick, and the GM, Lad Herzig, didn't make it any bones about it. The idea was to build a great offensive line for Earl Campbell. And they had Warren Moon in 1984, and they thought Earl was coming off a 1,300-yard season in 83. So the whole idea was to have Earl as the focus of the offense and then have Moon there, and everybody couldn't stack the line for Campbell. And Earl got hurt in training camp in 84, and it all went down the toilet. But you can't go wrong with offensive linemen. Now, the Cowboys did. At one point, they had the greatest offensive line in the NFL, and they couldn't help them get any farther in the playoffs than they've had when they've been mediocre. The key, of course, those linemen are usually the most dependable picks. And when you have a chance to get Joe Alt, I think there's no way you could pass him up because he is as sure a thing in this draft as any player.
John, great stuff as always. I know folks can find your work at HoustonTexans.com. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us from Houston here on the show. Philip Forsberg joins us next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.